welcome to the panel MediaWiki at Work, which has a nice double meaning. Let's just start. My name is Yaron Karen. I took my name tag off for no good reason. I'm the quasi moderator, I guess. We'll start with Greg Miller from ARMED.
So we named and renamed this panel discussion a couple of times. We ended up with Wiki at Work, and we were thinking, what is maybe a common theme that we have among myself and work at ARMED, the medical wiki, Yaron's work with MediaWiki Consulting, Stephen Press's work with Wiki Cairo, and then Richard Knippel with YCM. Right. And I found it interesting when Dan came in the room, he said, "Oh, Wiki said work, you mean business." And I thought, well, medical business for me, that is a huge business and very influential and interesting. And then I thought, well, is it business if it's free? Because we're trying to basically emulate Wikimedia Foundation and Wikipedia and have just, free information forever without advertising. And, does that constitute business? If that's what we're selling is free information, that's maybe business or not. So
if you're selling it.
Yeah.
And your word selling that money.
Right. And it's been very interesting to me personally to be involved with organizations to help nonprofits grow. I've done that over the last 5 years, and then with a corporate background, and to see kind of what flushes out as some of the real nice attributes of nonprofit work. I felt that might be a nice kind of interesting contrast to see, how can we use wikis for corporate, for nonprofit, and also if we can get this layer of comparison about, it's almost like a philosophical thing, what drives people to do community work, to do volunteerism, to do nonprofit mission work. It might be interesting for the group. One of the common things that I think everyone has is how do you grow a community? And maybe we could start that off with, comparative, what works and what doesn't work. Do you guys want to add to that?
You want me to jump in there?
Sure.
I think that some of the things from my background in working
can
with...
Can you introduce yourself?
I'm Dr. Stephen Press. I'm a chiropractic physician out of Englewood, New Jersey. I've been a Wikipedian for several years. Then I became involved. Actually, I met Greg Miller at a Wikimedia conference at Columbia. And since we're not in court, I'll say. I became enamored of the idea of ARMED's mission to have a fully integrated healthcare site, because I felt that most of the medical sites that were available were very one-sided and put a lot of emphasis on drugs and surgery, and de-emphasized if they didn't go out of their way to slander or to slant their views in the field of alternative healthcare. Not just chiropractic, but naturopathic medicine, homeopathy, acupuncture, clinical nutrition approach to treating diseases of the human condition. And I felt from what I'd seen that the anonymous editing that was going on in Wikipedia was probably a very, very good way to produce an overall encyclopedia, but it wasn't always conducive to the best interests of objectivity in the health field. There was a cabal of people who represented a very specific interest within the healthcare field that were editing in Wikipedia, and they had established themselves from the very beginning. Someone, I don't know if he wants credit for this comment, said called them astroturfers, I don't know if everybody else knows what that means, but he intended it to mean people with phony grassroots, and I thought it was very appropriate that they had come in from the beginning and established themselves, but with a very specific point of view, and they didn't really seem to care whether their point of view was real or based upon the latest in research. And I came in and I said, you know, I've worked my entire career to develop my profession. I had the privilege of being the founder of the world governing body for sports chiropractic, and I served as chief physician for the Soviet Olympic team. So I've worked at the world level with the International Olympic Community for many, many years. And my interest was in seeing objective data about chiropractic and alternative healthcare in general online, and it wasn't there. And when I went to try to do that, I was the subject of a gang war, a gang edit on Wikipedia that resulted in my receiving a community ban, and it took Jimmy Wales to come in personally and say, that's not fair, get him back in here. So in the meantime, I got involved with Alamed, and that was how I got involved with them. And I started, finally became chairman of the content committee for Alamed. And recently, the board asked me to accept the position of executive technical director. So Greg and I have parallel level of position with Alamed now. And Greg is full-time and works to develop recruiting and marketing, whatever. And I'm now in charge of the technical aspects for Alamed. I'm not there to be the medical director for Alamed. And I want to make that clear to the board. I will put my two cents in when someone is editing articles in an area they don't have any knowledge of, especially if it's someone who's not knowledgeable in an area of my expertise. I may come in and say, well, is that a legitimate edit? But one of the things that I like about Alamed is that it's not anonymous. You need to declare who you are. The new site will ask you for what your affiliations are. It's going to be open. It's going to be above board. It's going to be straightforward. It's going to be objective. If you have criticism of my profession, that's fine. It just better be founded in fact. That's all. I have no problem with that. So that was how WikiChiro got started, actually. Before I got involved with Alamed, my son, who has a master's in information technology, who is now, by the way, in chiropractic school and about to join me in practice in 1 year, helped me start up a WikiChiro and get the and use the Wikimedia Foundation's the brilliant software produced by people like Yaron and his colleagues. To set that up, and that was the purpose. That was strictly a chiropractic version, and a similar ground rules to Alamed, and that's where we are. That looks familiar. And we're sistered with Alamed in terms of there are connections. So some, if you go into Alamed and you look for articles about chiropractic, you may be redirected to WikiChiro, which is a database of chiropractic information. And this is the current page for Alamed. We have exhaustively gone through all of the outside the articles. If you go down the page like that, you'll see most active authors. I'm two of them, because I started as the RSJP DC, and then when they made me an admin, they gave me the name Save-A-Life. So that's me. If you click on that, it takes you to my user page. So this is my user page. But recently we've added the ability to put live video into pages. In most states except New York and California, chiropractors are physicians.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, in New Jersey, it was declared by the Supreme Court in 1954.
Oh, yeah.
Current decision. So I wouldn't expect everybody to be up to date.
I know something. I didn't know.
Yeah. You got to remember that this is something that, by the way, that's a little aside. Just not going to spend a lot of time on it. But a lot of people don't realize that chiropractors, a lot of people think chiropractors are training 2 weeks in the back of a health food store. Chiropractic doctors have 5 academic years after college. It's the same as medical school. All the human section anatomy and all the medical specialties, and we go through all of that. So the only difference is we don't use drugs in surgery, we tend to use natural therapies.
Where do you learn chiropractic?
In any one of about 19 accredited chiropractic institutions.
There's like NYU? No.
Well, NYU doesn't have one. University of Bridgeport has a chiropractic college. New York Chiropractic College, which is part of the State University of New York, is in Seneca Falls. Palmer College, all of them, they're all accredited by the regional accrediting agencies as
And they're probably listed on Wikipedia.
Listed on Wikipedia, and by the way, if you go to chiropractic institutions, that'd be education. And you'll see chiropractic college, list of chiropractic schools. These are locations of chiropractic schools all over the world. So these are accredited. CCE is recognized by the Federal Department of Health Education. So all of the schools in the United States are fully accredited as first professional degree granting institutions.
Wonderful. Thank you.
That answers your question. As you can see, we have chiropractic schools in Canada. There's now one in teaching in French language at the University of Quebec at Trois-Rivières. There's a chiropractic college in Mexico. There's several in England, one in Sweden, and so on and so forth. Several in Australia, South Africa. Anyway, it's not a commercial for chiropractic, but I didn't intend it to be that one. Anyway, and you can see we're all over the world. University of Heidelberg, by the way, that graduated a minor figure in science, his name was Albert Einstein. They have a chiropractic college. So. yes?
I was curious about you talked about earlier the cabal, or whatever it was, that took over, or arrived at Wikipedia and oversaw the medical entries.
They're still doing it.
How is your system different? What's the governance process that will stop that from happening again? Why won't they just
over it? They go in fully anonymous. And they're violating, in my view, and I can't yet quite prove it, but I'm very close. They're violating one of Wikipedia's own rules, which is known as meat puppetry.
But
What
does that mean?
Sock puppetry. There are two terms that sound rather sophomoric to grown-ups.
What is meat puppetry?
Well, let me define it. You know what sock puppetry
is? Yes.
Okay. Everybody knows what sock puppetry
is.
Yes. Sock puppetry is when you go in and operate someone else's account or create a second account to produce two votes to vote on something from two perspectives, from two points of view, as though you were two different people. You masquerade as more than one person. Sock puppetry is when you recruit friends to come in and support your point of view.
Oh, I see.
So in theory, if I were to say in the international chiropractic media that this is a problem, we need people to come in and help to combat this. In theory, I have violated meat puppetry and I'm eligible to be banned from Wikipedia for bringing people in whose interest is interested in seeing this be objective. Now, how have they gotten away with it so far is because you gotta remember that in the 1970s there was a federal antitrust lawsuit brought in the Federal District Court in Chicago by five chiropractic plaintiffs against the AMA and every medical organization in the United States. And it took 11 years in the federal courts, wound its way all the way to the Supreme Court, which refused to overturn an appellate decision upholding the chiropractic win, which convicted the AMA and all those negative organizations of a conspiracy, first to destroy the profession of chiropractic, and then to reinvent it for themselves as the North American Academy of Manipulative Medicine. Now, during that time, there was a group which formed as a splinter organization called So-and-so Council Against Health Fraud. And these people purport to be the police officers of the web and online life regarding every aspect of quackery. And they long ago, during this antitrust process, labeled chiropractic to be quackery. They don't know anything about it. The people who run it have been discredited in the federal courts and in numerous state courts when they've sued and been sued. But the people on Wikipedia have been able to use them as a RPOV, reliable point of view, because medical journals have picked these guys up as references. So major medical journals, BMJ, Lancet, JAMA, and others, have them as references in articles that were published, most of those before the antitrust suit was successful.
So there's a solution then for Wikipedia.
Where is the solution? That's the good point.
There,
exactly. What is the solution?
You can use it as a reliable source reference.
They can use him as a reliable source reference.
But also
and I can't show I can't show that he's been discredited in the federal courts and the state courts because most court websites require you to pay for the documents. And they've said we can't use paid per service. Yes.
So I'm curious as to how our vet is different, so different than Citizendian?
Transparency. Different than Citizendian.
Okay.
Oh, Greg?
So we're looking to build in a physician verification tool, which is actually more parallel to a site called Medpedia.com, which is similarly actually advised by Mitch Kapoor from open source movement, and but you know it parallels that process of having an encyclopedia of physician verified articles, but we want to also like add in a way to have comments and to have kind of the best comments rise to the top. So anybody, any patient around the world will be able to contribute their personal experiences, their preference for a hospital or whatever, and to kind of have basically the general mass meet the scientific community on an equal level. So that's kind of the overall premise. It was developed at the Health Innovation Technology Lab at Columbia Medical, and supported by actually one of our board members is Florence DeVard, who's the former head of
Wikipedia.
I mean, the way I see it, it's quite a different approach. I mean, they're going toward a specialized focus, and it's not sort of, I mean, Conservapedia was very kind, was designed as like the antithesis of Wikipedia in a weird way.
Citizen.
But yeah, it was sort of designed as the antithesis, and it made some very conscious decisions, like to not import articles from other, from like Wikipedia or from other third-party sources because everything should be unique to them. And I think that they should be, I think, even more of a so-called professional focus than our head is focusing for. But they had it in sort of a weird way where they had people who had some sort of advanced degree in anything and then they would write about topics they didn't necessarily even know about, be specialized in. Like, matter. I've talked to some people who were interested in it in the beginning, and thought it was a very interesting idea, but it didn't work out not quite the way they thought it would. Obviously, you know, there are different ways of structuring these, and some things more like Citizen Ending might work better in the future. I don't know, I thought it might be possible if you could talk about NYC with me.
I was going to say about Conservapedia. It all comes direct from God.
Yeah, Conservapedia. Yeah, I'm sorry to slander all the Citizendian folks by saying Conservapedia. That's obviously another perspective.
Why is that slander?
I don't know. I mean, probably to most people at Citizendian they would consider it slander. Probably to most people at almost any other wiki they would consider it slander.
It's like if you called a Democrat a Republican.
Conservapedia is a whole other direction. I mean, obviously there's sort of all sorts of POV works.
I'd just like to ask, I mean, although you're crediting doctors, how does that still avoid the meat puppet process if they go and find all the doctors that are on their side and put them all on your...
It's extremely difficult. That's an extremely difficult situation, difficult problem. But by the way, just a quick comment and I'll go back to answer your question. We put up Medpedia, but there's Medpedia, there's Ganfid, there's WebMD. All of those allow only MDs and dentists to edit. I went into Medpedia and they said we accept all physicians and we allow all physicians to edit. So I created a physician account to edit. I created, did some edits, found they never went up. So I wrote an email to the headquarters and I said, how come my edits didn't go up? They said, well, we only allow physicians to do it. And I said, well, I can show you the law. I'm a physician since 1954. At least I've been in practice since 1954, but people in my profession have been physicians under the law in 48 of the 50 states since 1954. They said, well, a physician is only an MD or a dentist. And they said, well, we'll allow you to, because you're a PhD, we'll allow you to edit as a PhD, but not as a chiropractic doctor. And basically, my answer, what would you answer? I'm not going to work for you. You're going to spit in my face. Why would I work for you?
But what's wrong if you just comment something true and you contribute, not necessarily as an MD, but you contribute the right thing, and then you have another group?
But they won't put my contributions up.
Oh, but
no.
You said that you cannot contribute.
No, they edit out the contributions of anybody that's not a doctor. And they don't consider anybody but MD. This, see, the recently the AMA moved to have a new campaign to remove all the laws that allow anybody but MDs and osteopaths to be called physicians, which is probably in violation of the permanent injunction in the federal court, but that may have to be fought again. But as a result, sites that are medically controlled are enforcing that and keeping other points of view out. So that's what I'm trying to tell you. It's very, very slender. At least in our minute, we're encouraging people who are healthcare professionals in all fields to compare notes.
About
pride into disciplinary
medicine. I mean, one of the best physicians do participate in alternative medicine. And so how does that come into this?
They would be welcomed. It's healthcare professionals and we don't want to have bias on where the line is drawn massage or Reiki or whatever. We want to basically have it all categorized appropriately and just have a international healthcare website. I think what we're talking about is intrinsic of growing community too, because even Wikipedia early on had a lot of rules about what would be published and it was kind of constricted by all of the ways to get pages published and I don't think it would have survived until the rules were kind of relaxed and it was easier with the software to edit until basically anyone could edit. And then it probably went too open and had to contract a bit more. Am I okay in that historical view of that?
In a lot of ways, it's more. I mean, it's that it's becoming, more strict and less strict in specific ways, and has to find out, slowly work out the best ways that become a little bit more stabilized, and the best ways in which we become a little bit more open. The other panel, flag revisions, is a good example of that, because it's a way that it's a technical implementation immediately that both makes an article more stable, less prone to vandalism, and also means that we don't have to protect articles as much. So actually, it's both more protected and more open. That's hopefully where wiki sites are moving in the future, Wikipedia, ARMET, all other sites included.
So as it relates to medicine, I just have to finish this one point. If we had only brain doctors, brain surgeons, allow other brain surgeons to edit information, we our community wouldn't grow. Basically, and right now we need to be just kind of more open and allow a lot of contributors and kind of have this visionary goal of what we want in the end, but we have to be flexible. It's interesting this dance between rigid and flexible to allow it to move forward.
I'm curious about to what extent there is or you found evidence of the role of pharmaceutical companies in finance. Medical drug sales
people.
Well, I noticed whenever you try to grow a community, you want to be as friendly as possible and not to disrespect a lot of the contributions that have been done by, like, pharmaceuticals, for example. They do tremendous work. There are times when they're not as transparent, or at least their advertisers are not as transparent. I often quote a site that gives you a quiz, basically, about your health condition, and then basically you spend an hour putting in all of your healthcare information, and it, they basically tell you your real age, but it's realage.com. I don't know if you guys know that. They have like 30 million members. But basically, they take that information and they sell it to drug companies, and then you get something in the mail about, you know, if you need a cholesterol, use some drug, whatever. So they're doing things on the net that just aren't very straightforward and transparent.
I was thinking that my question wasn't answered, which we can get back to later. I'd like to ask you about how you do your namespace. Is it all kind of like one level namespace, or do you have sub folders? Do you know what I mean? Between how
set up just like Wikipedia, with multiple layers and categories and subpages and subcategories and all of that, disambiguation pages, redirects, and all that stuff.
These are categories on the upper right hand corner up here right now of when.
These are the content. These are the major categories that we've just recategorized all of our articles, so that all of them have health A to Z. Anything that's health related, if it's an organization, it might not.
They have A to Z. What is that, sir?
Health A to Z is like the general compendium for all health related articles that might not have like internal documents.
So you use the internal category system that you don't, like we have on NYC Wiki, is a decision that Richard made, is to like in each neighborhood. To have, you know, say the Jackson Heights culture is a subfolder of Jackson Heights.
Yeah, that was an idea. I mean, it's a question of how do you grow a new wiki. And so one idea that I had, that we sort of had for NYC Wiki, was that we might want to focus on particular types of content and particular types of neighborhood issues. So we've sort of been importing some articles from Wikipedia and sort of splitting them up and adding stuff to have pages on the culture, on the history, on the economy, on the environment of these different neighborhoods. To sort of both differentiate and provide something new, because when you want to have a new wiki, I guess you want to have something new as well as be able to use what's already there.
So for instance, you might have research, diagnosis, and treatment or something like that, and you just put that all on one page?
No, we have, for example, in the categories, we go back to the
So you're saying the culture, there are unique cultural attributes to, say, Jackson Heights versus the Upper West Side? Well, right, but there might be museums in both Jackson Heights and Upper West Side.
Well, I mean, you could go to a category and pick up all, you know, museums, but
this is a new site. Here's where you'll be directed. Now there's going to be one change, and that is all other miscellaneous is going to go in as a subcategory under Health A to Z, and we're going to move this around a little bit, put in diseases and conditions as a general category. So these are not clickable links to the right of the little icons, but the icons are that whole thing is a clickable link, and then that will take you to what amounts to a kind of disambiguation page that will give you subcategories at the top and all of the articles and categories and subcategories that are in it, and all the articles that are in that section.
Excellent.
So yes, you have subcategories and categories. And by the way, just to try to briefly answer Mr. Pollack's question, the idea is that it's an open network, and presumably we're going to try to have the people who are participating, all of whom have input and expertise in healthcare, sort of monitor one another. As a technical director, I'm not going to go in and rule somebody out. Let's say some medical doctor comes in to edit some article about chiropractic. I'm not going to say you can't do that, especially if he comes in with a referenced edit that makes remote sense. What we want is for this to be not just somebody who's, there are certain reference, certain people that have been discredited who go out of their way to slander alternative health, and we just don't want them. Anything else, any other legitimate research is going to be admissible. I'm not going to let some chiropractor come in and edit some article on brain cancer.
You're saying that, you know, in some ways accuracy is more important than reliability or verifiability.
I think accuracy and reliability go hand in hand.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful what the source of reliability is.
Yeah.
Well, but we're talking, you're using words here that they're simple to say, from community. This all depends upon our definition of community.
Right.
To accuracy, and these are sometimes words are easy to spell, sometimes not, but some usually easy to say. But right. This all seems to be basic definition of what is your community you're trying to build. And the whole notion of community to me has been perplexing for many years and seems to be all the more so today. And so you're saying the anonymity can be a detriment to the free and open exchange of information because people have their own agendas and they bring to it the table and you don't know who's trying to manipulate what, certainly.
May
I just say this is so important thing. I really believe all the time that you say it. It is just, I just loved all the words that you said. But then I ran into the citizen deal where they insist upon that you have to give your identity.
Oh, no, I'm saying that that's a different type of community. So that community wants to have...
No, but the point that I want to make it, that it doesn't mean that you get better articles. What was surprising for me, that by actually revealing your identity and supposedly you get much more responsibilities through that for whatever you say, yet it does not prevent people to say the most mediocre, stupid, irrelevant, and incorrect, and wrong things, but you do sometimes without really declaring your name.
Well,
and that is a fascinating discovery.
This is one of the issues that came up this morning, and it's one of my sort of fundamental criticisms of Wikipedia, is the lack of accountability. And I think a lot of the problems that existed with Wikipedia, I mean, everybody says, yeah, we needed that no barrier to entry, but it was needed in the beginning. But now people everywhere else, you know, don't mind agreeing to the rules of procedure in terms of participation. And I think having that clearly set up and having a means of kind of tracking it and using that as a basis for deletion and whatever kind of thing changes the level, and I think it has to be, you know, like it or not. Anyone who has a smartphone or a credit card or whatever is known by Google and all these other companies. So that anonymity is an illusion in many ways. But hiding, you know, I think Wikipedia gives that space for people to be irresponsibly anonymous.
But think about the citizen.
And I think there could also be a procedure for requesting anonymity so that someone in political situation in the Myanmar, for example, could contribute information anonymously and have a secure procedure for doing that.
But think about a citizen where you have all the names, everything out there, and believe me, the level is much lower. The whole thing is much lower. So what I really learned out of this, that actually this whole idea which I have, what you have and what everyone has, that, oh, it's hiding, it is not the point. It's the point is what people capable to actually bring out as the best as they can. And I, but really the interesting part that even if they make mistakes, they try the best what they can do. It is not out of malice or not out of trying to cheat someone. They try to do the best what they can do, and the other comes along and says, well, you were incorrect here. But if you add this to it, you may be correct.
Right.
So it's a self-correcting process.
Well, it is, but I still think that, you know, intentions are one. There are rules of having to document, ad hominem things, whatever kind of stuff that's there. Those specific things, well-intentioned or not, are invisible. And it's not then a question of intentions, it's a question of...
I think that's quite true. I'm going to cut this off, but before we take your question, I just wanted to answer that, and that is that Professor Stan Kashnovsky, who is a professor at the Columbia University Health Information Technology Laboratory, who was a board chair, has insisted that in the new site, one of the features of my new site is that in addition to the wiki text articles that will be edited by people who we know and who established themselves, there's this dialogue section where people can sort of blog in and put messages in and have some input so the general community has an opportunity to be, as you said, irresponsibly anonymous.
Could we see the new homepage, the proposed homepage?
Huh?
Maybe she can get her question.
Like more than 20 years already, I am involved in works of the foundation, which is called Foundation for Alternative Cancer Treatment, which is under the head of Dr. Sattman. So over 20 years, I am participating in all kinds of conferences, and I know all this alternative movement in medicine. And surprisingly, I have to tell you, first 10 years it was a mess, because all kinds of strange treatments were also put in. However, this community of alternative treatment already regulated itself and filtered itself to this point that now you are in very comfortable position, because those people who are on the surface, they are already with medical degrees, recognizable all over the United States, and they combine the traditional with alternative treatments, and you have names like Dr. Hoffman, which is on the radio every day,
yes.
Dr. Whitaker, which is of course a huge guru, Dr. Sinatra, and so on. So those people already have this knowledge which they can bring to you, and also they have a lot of cases when you, if you accept the patient reports, they already have everything proved medically. So for me only, it's like, oh God, I said to myself, Vicky will pay a lot for the servers, because you don't know how big is the underground movement. Like Dr. Ruth Sackman, who had this foundation for alternative cancer treatment,
right.
She has also plenty of medically checked cases of saving lives through Gerson, Kelly, and Gonzalez therapies, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So if these people will eventually, if you incorporate this, you will have enormous website. Of course, Dr. Hoffman, Dr. Whitaker, all of them, they have already their own web pages.
Of course.
And they have those, the things like you have. Both sides.
Right.
How about Dr. Weil?
No, I'm not like every day, it's not my everyday
Dr. Weil?
Well, Weil, I said.
Dr. Weil, you know, he is like more mainstream, okay? He's more mainstream.
Weil is even more mainstream.
Too much.
But you know, he cannot. Oh, and also one tip. Every time when I want to show to someone what the pharma means in the United States, I would recommend just write in a Google, prostitute, and put some any medication next to it.
What is the first word?
Prostitute.
Class action.
And Neurontin, for example. Prostitute and Neurontin. And then will pop up that, I forgot which class or whatever,
right.
They paid $500 million penalty for using this for wrong reason on patient, and half a billion dollar will not stop them to do the same thing, because they are making $2 billion
more
than that. No, you're
absolutely right.
And it's every situation like this. Last 10 years and nothing helps.
Two questions. Number one, you require identification and credentials for people editing. Is that solely to establish that they're qualified to edit?
Yes.
Or
you can come in and request the ability to edit. In other words, and we'll give you the ability to produce edits in a sandbox, and then you can have someone who already has edit privileges review them. And if you're making valid edits and you're making good contributions, you may be moved and given granted edit privileges even if you're not a physician.
Okay, so it's not okay.
So what credentials? So it's not you don't require credentials. To,
but so then,
to,
if you're not a physician,
initially you do, and then when
someone is
required,
if you're not a physician, then are your edits treated differently?
Yes. In other words, if you come in and you can show that you're licensed to practice some healthcare profession that we recognize, and it's mostly everything that's outside of the Twilight Zone is recognized on Aramid, then you're going to get edit privileges, and we'll pretty much expect that you're going to remain mostly in your own area of expertise. In other words, we won't expect a Reiki practitioner to start editing
articles on bone saw columns. But for example,
and I'm sorry, how do you validate that? How do you verify the license?
It's an ongoing process we haven't completely figured out yet. But most physicians, anyway, are documented in a government way online.
But not including their email address or.
No, they're given. They have a certification number, like a professional ID number,
right.
And you can go online and look them up to see if you know their number.
How do you know
that's not a secret?
Right.
How do I know
somebody's not spoofing some legitimate document?
Yeah,
very important. He's right.
There's also certification companies that will go out and research that. You know, something you pay
there
for.
There is a finger printing now.
This is a big project to take on.
And this might make a lot of sense for something like our med, which is like very specialized and has a specific medical focus. But the complexity of what you're going through kind of shows why it might not be such a good idea for a site like Wikipedia, where it's more about general knowledge and where it would be impossible to prove that any general contributor is who they said they were anyway.
How do you encourage people to participate in this? What are the recruiting mechanisms? And what kind of success have they had? Certain ones better than others?
I think, you know, when I worked in the emergency medical services field, one of the things we had a saying, we said if you could give someone a red light and siren for their personal car, you could get them to work for you for any amount of money, any amount of time for free. So there has to be some hot button to sell people on devoting time to, and I think one of the biggest draws for physicians and other scientists to work on these sites is that presumably they're looking to improve their positions in the search services, and the more articles they have published, the more articles they can link to from their site that are going to link back to them, because they're established editors and they're going to raise their own profile online. So, and then by the way, that to answer your question is going to be part of the process of confirming that these people are who they say. Somebody would go out of their way to produce an entire website like mine, for example, in order to spoof being Dr. Press.
So, as someone who edits mostly within articles relating to biology. I've got a little bit of knowledge or a little bit of background on sort of literature surveys of the accuracy of Wikipedia's medical information, and they tend to, from what I recall, they tend to be pretty high, Wikipedia's accuracy. So given that there's that high accuracy and high coverage, how will physician curated collection of medical articles improve that?
So we'll be able to also add like a stamp of approval, basically saying like this article was reviewed by this particular doctor who has this background, and you know, we have, it's basically using a Wikipedia template or like a wiki template. It just says our med reviewed, and I think it's the thing that's not available on Wikipedia, because it wouldn't be Wikipedia if it did, you know, have that level of,
it's scripted rather than prescriptive, right?
Right. The other aspect of that is that to more directly answer the question, and that is, and I think it goes back to what I said before, and that is, I said Wikipedia's accuracy tends to be pretty high, but in this particular area of integration of healthcare, there are established POV editors whose credentials are they have their own agendas. And the accuracy of information that relies on them as references has some serious issues. So
this is just in the specific
a small area which I would have to contradict that.
So would this just be in a set of articles that these POV editors edit, say, articles on alternative medicine?
Yes.
And like that.
Yeah, I don't care if they edit articles on billiards or ping pong. When they start talking about a subject that they have no credentials in,
yep.
and where they themselves have been brought up in trials and discredited as experts in those fields, then they go back. But because they have been used as references during the antitrust period, and they're in medical journals, now they become an RPOV on Wikipedia. that's a catch kind of catch 22 situation. I don't quite know how to fight.
Well, isn't there a way of withdrawing that RPO status?
If a community gets together.
A way to be able to say, look, here's this guy who can make the most of that.
Yes, but a meat puppet ticket is very
difficult. Yeah, if I ask you to help me do that, I'm going
to
help.
There are procedures in place to, I mean, if there are real suspicions, to my understanding, there are procedures in place to, for, say, a check user or an oversider, they're called to look at the IP address behind the username. And with that, it's really easy to ping somebody down, at least if they're doing software.
Well, you said something about meat puppeting in relation to
this. Oh, so in terms of meat puppetry, I think that would be probably more subjective.
Yeah, and much more difficult.
Yeah. What I find is interesting is this conversation now is it's really we're comparing OurMed to Wikipedia and all the projects on Wikipedia. It's a web sort of comparison. But what we're looking to do as well is address the transparency problems that are out there just in medicine and healthcare, where you don't know, you know, who's funding a clinical trial, an advertisement on TV. You see all this stuff and it says, ask your doctor about so-and-so. It's like, is that, are they selling me this? Or, you know, all these things that we have in our common everyday healthcare life, we don't have a forum yet to debate that or present a lot of things. You know, when a patient goes to a doctor, they almost always get the most expensive drugs because they're like the free samples at first, but they're just getting you the free samples, so you'll have to be prescribed those expensive drugs down the road. And the whole, there's a huge kind of economic sort of story behind just medicine in general that is, I think,
isn't that interesting that Tom is also quiet all the time?
Right.
He never opens his mouth.
Tom's a doctor, right?
Well, it's interesting because it's a coincidence that Dr. Press, who's a chiropractic physician, I'm a medical physician, and you are a basic medical scientist, that we all, as an illustration, have an experience with a technology that's probably very dear to you, which is the management of pain.
Right.
Because all three of us have had something to do with a fellow by the name of Dr. Sal Liss. And we would probably all agree that what he created in an FDA-approved
he's so
item.
Dedicated.
Oh, yeah. But you are too, and you.
Absolutely.
And all of us
not.
Have used this. All of us have used this. Here's a simple technology.
He died
a few years ago, but what he did.
He killed him? What? No, no.
No, not yet.
No.
He was there. All these people just loved him. That's really funny. I mean, you can't believe it, it's true.
But. You use it on your patients.
And Tom is using
it. I use it on my patients.
Mock him.
Yeah.
And they mock
what
him.
What
is
this?
Can
we just let Tom speak alone?
I'm a radiation oncologist. But because I deal with pain, he deals with pain, and you've had pain, we all had the opportunity to use a technology which was about passing electrical current through the skin to do all kinds of things. One of the things was managing pain. Now, this is a big technology in the medical world. It's an $80 million business just in terms of helping to heal bone. But I happened to look this up while we were sitting here and looked in Wikipedia under the item of neurostimulation to see whether they happened to mention it. They did not. They mentioned neurostimulation. It's a simple technology. 9-volt battery pushes somewhere between a milliamp, a little less than a milliamp, to 4 milliamps through tissue, and it has many effects: repair effects and management of pain effects. It is not included really in the Wikipedia.
It's in QuackWatch.
It's in QuackWatch.
Stephen Barrett has an article penning.
QuackWatch.
QuackWatch.
Who watched it?
Now, this is kind of strange because I just want to say that, yes, I do agree that medicine is a business, that it is very highly motivated by who gains, and there's very little, I think, There's very little arbitration just on the basis of the usefulness of something. The examples are all around you. The antidepressants, which it turns out work only in 30% of patients, and for whom the literature has been suppressed in our best journals, is a very good example. Well, anyway, I think there's merit in what you're trying to do, but I think the problem is that RMed is not going to be ever as big as Wikipedia.
So you should go back.
And you have to go, and you really have to go back in and take on Wikipedia, because it is the channel of information, as you all know.
We know that, but I don't think anybody expects RMed to compete with all the competing just within that niche.
But I mean, if RMed becomes RPO or whatever, then you know that could be the base you kind of provide an external basis authority from which to.
And also, Wikipedia should have like a side thing there, so anyone who has a medical question, they all automatically be thrown into this med wiki. That would be a good thing, you know? So if you have a question, you automatically ask to look at that. Fair enough.
I mean, but there, by the way, the perfect example, my friend who's a medical physician, a radiation oncologist, and I'm a chiropractic sports medicine specialist, and we're in absolute agreement on this issue of cranial electrical stimulation being completely suppressed. Was one of the, this man invented one of the greatest achievements in electromedicine, and it's been remained one of the hidden secrets of
But I witness when Tom starts to talk about this to other physicians, he makes them fall asleep, and I witness that.
Right.
So people have a very interesting mind, which I don't get. So
given these concerns about, it sounds like commercial interests, sort of promoting their own products, would there be an extensive requirement to require contributors to RMed to list, say, their affiliations? Otherwise it seems like there would be, you know, you would have this physician stamp. However, that physician could also be sort of their opinion could be biased because they have some financial conflict of interest.
It would be imperative to have everyone fully say all their endorsements and acknowledge, you know, who they work for, and you know, they work. You could be a physician, but then you could be a physician for a pharmaceutical company, and we would want to know that.
When you say create account, then it goes in there.
Can you connect it to the electricity?
Yeah, and I kind of think to bring it around. I think the great virtue of something like RMed, and shows sort of the utility of free content is that you're taking, you know, what is developed on Wikipedia, which is good in very many respects, but it's not perfect, and you're having it reviewed by physicians, and you're having a, you know, sort of a reviewed, possibly corrected, possibly POV balanced version, which you are publishing,
right,
and which will be a tremendous resource in improving the original Wikipedia article. You know, maybe we'll just take it wholesale, your improvements, or maybe we'll take part of it, but I think it's a great, you know, sort of virtuous circle there.
If Wikipedia will permit using wiki sites as references in Wikipedia, which I understand they do not at the moment allow.
Yeah, well, I imagine a lot of your stuff has been cited somewhere else, and maybe,
sure,
you know, if you have, there's some sort of POV conflict on Wikipedia, maybe if you can adjust it better on RMed,
right,
then you can achieve like more of a balance, so it sort of makes your points sort of clearer.
That's the idea.
I think that could also work in a lot of other areas, potentially for other special pieces that specialize in different areas.
I see, you're right, really.
Are you planning to make this as a one link? Are you planning to put those credentials under one link? Or like in Wikipedia, the list of links, like that I can click and I will have under this one contributor, license, association, website, books from Amazon. So I don't need to go to Amazon to look, but it will be just under like one click of the list, like in Wikipedia.
Good question. I think that all of these,
because
all articles have to start
work
somewhere. So if someone comes in, someone who's, for example, if Dr. Radiation Oncologist comes in and writes an article about cobalt 60 and treating bone sarcoma. Okay, he puts his name on the article that he's written, then he's going to link back to him. At some point, somebody else in radiation oncology or somebody else with some knowledge of that field may come in and make some edits, but each time somebody does, there's a history, the same way as in Wikipedia. There's a history of who's contributed to this.
So I think the way we have it planned is the doctors will be listed under the articles. You don't even have that with like the New England Journal of Medicine sometimes. You have these ghostwriters who just contribute information, and then you don't know where they're from. So, you know, we're just trying to make steps in the right direction. And then I'm sure, just like any other wiki community, you have all these policy issues, and you know, you expand, you contract, you expand. But so
for a particular article, you'll just have the names of the contributors, not the specific contributions.
Well, everything's linked, so you can go. You'll be able to check back and see who they are.
Where they? I mean, I can't do that on Wikipedia.
No, because people go in and under pen names.
No,
you can. But it's very difficult.
It's very difficult.
I believe there are tools for comparisons. I believe there are tools to see where users have contributed.
The contributions, right. But it also be helpful for someone like me who has, various knowledge of larger conflicts, but I haven't seen, I'm not familiar with these particular cases. It would be interesting for me to see the Wikipedia article and the alleged conflicts and differences. And I'm saying it would be a great feature of your site to show explicitly what you're talking about here.
Well, just in my own field, I can give you a specific example.
That's okay. Fine. And then just to go back to the homepage a second, you had the article about what was it, the Droid, BlackBerry, and...
This is our test site.
Oh, okay.
Halfway through our second phase.
All right.
This article was just showing what you can do in that space.
All right. I mean,
it's not going to be on our site.
Right, I'm sure there's lots of conflicts in lots of areas.
But we have a section on basically debating issues. So even when there's a new drug coming out or a new treatment, whatever, you have different sides of it. You could even potentially have different cultural ways of doing things for different parts of the world. So you have that forum.
Right, and also various conflicts, I think, at med school. It was recently that, Harvard a couple years ago was late to the game in terms of disclosing the conflicts of professors in various classes, and I remember some covers that reading articles about that in large scale. Is that something you're looking to disclose in terms of professors, investments or conflicts or perceived conflicts?
Well, one of the things that we actually put the brakes on is having too much personal information written about doctors or actually grading too much to doctors. We first did our technical spec last summer, where we had, we wanted to rate hospitals, drugs, treatments, and doctors as well, the way many U.S. sites do. And we found it's even illegal in some countries to say, this doctor's a 3 and that one's a 7.
Right.
I agree. This is nonsense.
But there is some mechanism in place now for universities to address conflicts of interest of professors and the classes they teach.
Right.
And I'm not sure what the methodology is, or if you could expand or improve on that process in some way, shape, or form.
So to have a section that actually allows people to more publicly show.
Or to see what it is, or perhaps to improve that process. I don't know what it is, but.
I think that's part of what Stan wanted, was that in each of these areas, when you go into, you're going to have the WTML-based articles that people will be able to edit, that editors will be able to edit. And then there'll be this public comment section where anybody can go in and make comments. So there's room for that kind of thing to go into the public comments.
Yeah, but here is in Wikipedia, I was just mentioning to this lady who's in the foundation that it used to be a whole segment, editors with articles. It used to be a whole paragraph called editors with articles. Then they absolutely not.
Biographical.
Yeah, whatever, but it's non-restricted now, so it's not existing. On the other hand, if it would exist, then you see an article and there is a name to it, you can look it up, is the person wrote about, what is the person's name, would come up and you can look up about the person. But in Wikipedia, with the old wonderful idea of not revealing the identity, they abolished this.
So you write an article about yourself or about, you know, whatever you are and whatever your interest is, and then, because it's Wikipedia about Wikipedians with article. In other words, if you write that, then you have your false name, what?
Surname.
That's right, and your real name. Right. Then you can go to the literature or to Google the person.
Right. Of course, in Wikipedia, you're not prohibited from revealing who you are. You're perfectly permitted to out yourself in Wikipedia.
Oh, yes, register under your own name. That?
But of course, when you do...
Or my name, I don't know, whatever. Yeah.
I mean, as soon as you do, if you're a specialist in some area, and then you go to edit articles in your area, you immediately open yourself to allegations.
Absolutely.
That you're not a reliable point of view because you're an agenda editor. That is right.
Was this a session, I guess we have about 25 minutes left, where we were going to explore also the idea of what works and what doesn't on wikis, or was that something else?
Yeah, that's kind of this.
That's kind of this. All right.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any thoughts about what, in general form, what works and doesn't? I mean, obviously, Wikipedia works like nothing in the world, but, you know, this medical one is something you're trying. It is a good idea, and I presume everybody in the room agrees that it would be great if it works. And I think, you know, the one that I'm working on these days, you know, I worked on two others that didn't really go anywhere. And one was on a very specific area about governance processes, and no one ever picked it up. And it's been there for 6 years, and half a dozen people have looked at it at the, you know, 10,000 words I put up and edited them. The one that I work on these days, just starting, is this one with neighborhoods. And I'm wondering if, you know, if people live in neighborhoods, if anybody has any idea what would engage them in participating in a wiki, or if anybody has any idea of any content that would work there, or wouldn't work, or what would interest you or not interest you, any just thoughts beyond the doctors who live in the neighborhood. I guess maybe that's
instance,
a good reference also.
If a neighborhood has either a poet, an artist, or someone that known for, I think it's a good work for Wikipedia, right?
But part of the thing is that I think, how does somebody, know about it, but no one can get there? I feel like the first time you edit an article, or particularly writing an article, you undergo a major transition, you know, in terms of your ability to be in, because you haven't used other social networks, although now I think people are talking about it. But there's a level, the way I saw it was you become part of the web. But I think that question of how you kind of make that an inviting space, an easy space, so you can come in and say, you know, what is it you want to share about your neighborhood or whatever, and give it a simple format. And I think that, you know, one level of sort of simplicity of the openness of the architecture of MediaWiki markup is great. It allows you to do lots of things. But what you really need to do is sort of like basic, you know, sort of a basic kind of things, more like a form-based kind of input that you can describe the different things, and it sorts information and formats it in a simple and consistent way. And I think that for me, and that's one of my concerns about the limitations of Wikipedia for the foot.nyc initiative, that you sort of going into, you're either editing something which, but if you contribute something that's not there, you're kind of creating a space that didn't exist before, and you're kind of stepping out there without quite knowing how to express yourself in that medium in a way that's not only effective, but also is comes out in a way that's fairly easy for someone looking to find it. So
that's right. The thing is, just
an answer. MediaWiki, that seems like good leading.
Oh, just one thing I want to say is an answer. Very important.
Thanks, you're being a microphone. So.
What happens is, remember, now there is an argument on Wikipedia about the relevance of Infobox, talking about your project. If you have a neighborhood, you can put the Infobox right in there. People look at the Infobox, and then you say, is it relevant? It's critical. On the other hand, if you abolish the infobox, an average person who just want to have a fast overview, do I really want to get a read, then you may or may not depend, you have to have a previous interest to really going and be not to be concerned with the infobox. But for instance, infobox is not a must in Wikipedia. And that is a whole nonsense argument now. I found it was very entertaining. But in reality, that is, it is just kind of funny. I followed it, but the whole thing is funny. But the reality is that the infobox represents only items that is highly referenced in the article, is reliable references. So the infobox actually part of the article in a concentrated way. If you do that into your neighborhoods, it can be a wonderful way of presenting the specialty, the unit, and the similarity and the differences.
And yeah, I had brought that up in the general forum, the need for an infobox. And Joel is a technical guy, and he said it's on his list. But I haven't really looked at the syntax of creating it
just
an infobox template. And it would be great, you know, like to be able to know how to do that.
We actually tried to make the wiki text editor kind of be more simple and use a rich text editor. And I think that's a huge sort of obstacle that people have, the everyday person who wants to be in Jackson Heights and contribute, they get hit with all this gobbledygook. And it was when I joined, you know, OurMed, we had this rich text editor. I didn't realize that it just wouldn't work over time when we wanted to make it more enhanced. It just wouldn't work, and I kept hitting my head against the wall. So that, like, I would love to propose that as a solution somehow.
So how would
if I can, I'd like to just jump in and hijack the panel now, because I put together like a 15-minute talk, so, and I didn't get to give it yet, so now I will, because we've got 15 minutes. So, forget everything you just talked about. I mean, don't forget it, but we're done with that. Although it's related, it's related, so that's cool.
Is this a Sheesh's thing?
What?
Is this a Sheesh's thing?
A Sheesh's?
No.
A what?
It's all of our thing. It's Ralph, yeah. This is the replacement of Sheesh.
Oh, a Sheesh, yeah. Sheesh. I've never met that guy, but yeah. So my talk.
You're the replacement Tim Berners-Lee.
What?
You're the replacement Tim Berners-Lee.
The Tim Berners-Lee said it, yes, whatever.
I'm always the replacement Tim Berners-Lee. My talk is MediaWiki as enterprise software. So I'm a MediaWiki developer and consultant. My name is Yaron Karen. He's on there before. I'm a MediaWiki developer and consultant. I've been involved in the project since 2006, mostly doing semantic MediaWiki development. And I run WikiWorks, which is a MediaWiki consulting company, but based in New York City, although we have consultants around the world, pretty much. There's our logo. There's various, I come to MediaWiki from the perspective of implementing it for companies and organizations like OurMed and many others. Well, not OurMed, but like OurMed, who want to use MediaWiki for various purposes. There are a handful of wiki applications that are known as enterprise software, like Confluence, Social Text, what have you. I consider MediaWiki to be enterprise software by all standards. And it's as far as usage, it's already used in many large corporations. These are just a handful listed here. The CIA was another one that was mentioned in some talk that Intellipedia in a Lightning talk. There's a bunch of others. It's the most popular wiki software, as this Google Insights search sort of proves. MediaWiki is the one in blue, and there's some others. It's not a perfect search because some wiki applications are hard to do a Google search on. Atlassian I put instead of Confluence because Confluence is just a general word, and there's some others like that. So. Atlassian is the manufacturer. So, but I'm pretty sure, I mean, chances are good when you find a random wiki in the wild, either public or private, that it's MediaWiki. You'll notice that there's a drop-off that starts in 2007 and continues to the present day, which is not great. So you think that maybe there's another wiki that's missing in there that would account for that. This all takes place within, obviously, the context of the last 5 years of technology, so lots of things have changed. Let me briefly add Microsoft SharePoint in that. I don't know if anyone has heard of that, but that's the gorilla in the room when you're talking about all this stuff. It's a very popular Microsoft application. It dwarfs the rest. This is Google searches. I think maybe part of the reason is that it's so hard to use that its users end up having to do a lot of web searches. It's just a groupware sort of application. It has wiki functionality in addition to blogs and a bunch of other stuff. And being in the world of trying to sell MediaWiki and also Semantic MediaWiki, which I'll talk about a little bit, you hear the name a lot, and it ends up being a competitor a lot of the time as far as the solutions that companies look at. The market advantages that I see, if I can use a corporate-y term like that for MediaWiki, first of all, it's free. SharePoint is not free in either sense of the term, and neither are Confluence and most of the rest. The enterprise.
Confluence is sometimes free in one sense for open source.
Oh, some of the extensions are open source, I think, or something.
No, I mean, they'll give you a free license to use for an open source project.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Free as in beer, I guess.
Yeah.
It's sometimes, they give it. But for companies who want to use it internally, that's where they make the big bucks on. A market advantage, not necessarily an actual strength of MediaWiki, but the fact that is that people know about it due to Wikipedia. That's the interface they become familiar with, and they know about it even if they don't know its name. It's extremely reliable and scalable due to necessity because it has to support Wikipedia. There's a huge number of extensions that work well with it, which makes it pretty unique among wikis. It's easy to install compared to, say, the Java-based wiki applications because it uses PHP and they just basically install it on any server already. And its use of Semantic MediaWiki is what I would call a game, or the ability to incorporate Semantic MediaWiki is what I would call a game changer. I think it really makes it just totally changes the nature of MediaWiki. It just makes everything a lot better.
Could you talk about what is Semantic?
Yeah, okay. There's a bunch of wikis that use Semantic MediaWiki. I thought I'd keep it, personalize it. One of them is ITpedia, which is the wiki of ITP, the school that we're in now. This just looks like a normal wiki, but speaking of forms and stuff, if you go here, you can see you should add a new person, project, or gear page right now. So let me add a person. My name is Joe User. I went to ITpedia at some point. This creates a form that lets you populate that page. You can see here there's a whole bunch of little nifty little aspects to it. You have to be logged in here to upload files, but you could just use this to upload a photo. It'll go directly here into that field, and when you hit save, it's formatted nicely in there. So let's say you add that, you can create all sorts of pages that then query and aggregate that data. And here's a very simple example. Here's the page that was automatically created. That's all the alumni of the class of 2007. If you look at the source for this page, it's nothing more than a simple query, meaning this is automatically generated so that when a new person comes in with that graduation year, their information will show up nicely here. And besides just tables, you can display data in maps, calendars, and some other cool formats. And then you can also run free form queries to get things like people who graduated in 2007, who, whatever whatever other attributes are defined for
whose last name starts with W.
Yes, you can do that. Or who are from a certain country and that sort of thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is there a way to extract this information from, say, the prose of an article?
No. I wouldn't recommend it. There's the whole AI thing is sort of outside of the realm of
so you wouldn't text to like natural language processing?
No, it's all structured. Yeah, structured data. It's structured when it comes in.
And this for me, I think I'm really glad to see that you do this. I hope I wish I was just looking to see Charlie was about to watch this, but I'd love to work with you and sort of look at how we can create these kind of templates.
Cool. Yeah. So
it's part of my, part of my general sense of Wikipedia as an outsider. It is the lack of structure.
Right.
Structure.
Yeah, so this is really, I'm biased, but I think this is really state of the art. Even as far as the major applications, SharePoint, Confluence, and Google Docs is another sort of competitor of ours. This is pretty unique. As far as this ability. Yeah.
Do any of the foundation projects actually use it?
No.
Why?
Let me get to that.
Is it the entire platform or is it some plugin for the regular Mini Wiki that just lets you make
it? It's a plugin. It's actually a family of plugins, but they're all just open source extensions that you can add onto your Media Wiki installation. Let me just briefly go through weaknesses of MediaWiki that still exist. The list is shrinking, but these come up again and again when we're trying to pitch MediaWiki. Access control is pretty primitive, like the ability to say these pages are only viewable or only editable by administrators. Editing is pretty easy, but making sure that stuff is closed off for viewing is tricky. Lack of integration with files and file directories, that's kind of a big thing for corporations. WYSIWYG, we could talk about that all day.
What does lack of integration with file directories mean?
The idea is that you can modify not just wiki pages, but also your existing Excel spreadsheets or whatever from within the wiki and see the page history and all that kind of thing. There's different, like Confluence is really good.
So
that,
isn't
sort of
that
thing.
More like a document management system?
Yes, yeah, so at that point it becomes that, but that's what, the more functionality, the better. Companies want a single place where they can do all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's not a replacement for like Windows Explorer or something, but the fact that you're able to view everything from within one place is and then the last thing is just that it's hard for people to get started with it. There's no nice wizards. The interface can be sort of intimidating if you're an administrator, especially if you're just starting out MediaWiki. So here's the paradox of MediaWiki, which is that it's extremely popular, but the organization that produces it, Wikimedia Foundation, barely cares about it outside of its own sites. There's so much concern over just keeping Wikipedia and the rest afloat. That it's not, that it just doesn't really come up on the radar for
has that always
for
been
for
the
worse.
Case?
What?
Has that always been the case?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Wikimedia has been around before MediaWiki even, so it's always been just sort of a tool, and oh, by the way, you guys can use it too if you want for whatever purpose.
When you say barely, what do you mean, what do they care about then?
Well, they certainly make it available and they put out documentation and all that kind of stuff.
Has there been any consideration of maybe raising separate funds just for MediaWiki itself, separate from the foundation?
We're being told there's food, but I think
we're not hungry.
I'm just blended
it all. Yeah, well, the difficult thing is that Wikimedia is a nonprofit,
right.
Which means that anything relating to well, just as far as MediaWiki development, Wikimedia does a lot of MediaWiki development.
They
have
their own stable of developers, and they're right now doing a lot of hiring to increase that number.
Is that the SourceForge, or is it internal?
It's not internal. It's a public repository that's run by Wikimedia. So just briefly, maybe I shouldn't even bother with this, but I thought this was interesting anecdotally. Jimmy Wales doesn't really speak for Wikimedia at this point, but he has a little account on this site that lets just random people ask questions and he answers them, which is cool. So this was my question that I asked about 6 months ago. I wrote, MediaWiki, the software, it has become the most popular wiki application. Is there more that Wikimedia can do? Sort of like what you were asking. And I think this is just an illustration of how detached they are from it. This is what he wrote. I'm hopeful that as the foundation becomes increasingly stable financially, we continue to put in place processes and staff to drive the software development forward more quickly. Alright, that's fine. I'm disappointed, for example, that the flag revisions project has taken so long, although I understand why and how it happened. Meaning, he's viewing MediaWiki as MediaWiki on Wikipedia. Like, that's what he just instinctively understood my question to be, which is, it's not about supporting, Armed or whoever else is using it. It's about supporting the technology of Wikipedia.
Why are those disjoint? Why are those disjoint? If they develop it for Wikipedia, you can still use it on our web.
Because that's like a micro. Tweaking rather than.
I mean, obviously it's helpful, but it's not everything. I mean, let me get to that. So just to be clear, that wasn't a fluke, but at some point a month or so after that, somebody else asked, what's the first future feature you would like to be done for MediaWiki software? And he wrote, flag revisions, flag protection for the English Wikipedia. This was at a point when this feature already existed, but it wasn't on Wikipedia yet. So, I assume he misunderstood the question like he misunderstood mine, because I think it just reflects his perspective. You might, I don't know, maybe I'm being unfair to him, but I that's my understanding of the situation. Anyway.
Can I just ask a background question? Which came first, and who controls which?
Wikimedia came first, and they control MediaWiki to the extent that anyone can control it. They control it, yeah.
So
I mean, it's an open source project. Wikimedia created MediaWiki for the express purpose of powering Wikipedia.
It wasn't the first wiki software, but it's...
Well, I understand that. One would the presumption be... presumption seems to be that they should develop it for broader purposes other than their own.
Yeah.
He is describing a reality. He has not condemned them exactly.
Right.
But I'd like to insert a side point, which is, if it were just briefly re-energized for along these lines, the taxpayers would save millions of dollars in every country, because it would help them run the large enterprises the governments are. Sorry, go ahead.
Sure, yeah. This is my last slide. Just here, I guess to sort of answer that question, what can Wikimedia do more, or what can just people in general do more to increase the popularity of MediaWiki? What's that? Oh, is that pizza? So just things that are generally done for software projects. You have like a DevConf t-shirt, for instance. It's a standard. That's not why I asked you about it before, but I just remembered. There's a standard thing that's done for projects, but especially for open source software projects, is to have conferences where people can come together. And we have Wikimania, but that's more like this, where it's more intended for the users, the readers and editors of Wikipedia, as opposed to people using the software. So it'd be cool to have a MediaWiki conference, for instance. Yeah.
So I know that there's a developers conference for
Wikimania is that.
No. I'm talking about something.
Media Wiki.
Which what?
you're thinking of like the developers event that happened this spring in April.
So that's
separate. Oh yeah, there is a developers conference that it's sort of become an annual event. It happens in Berlin, which is nice.
Would that not be something that they would take up there? Or?
Yeah, and it is a quasi official event. It would be but there's never been a user, as I say, there have been developers conferences. There's never been a users conference. Never been one for administrators of their own business, for instance. Yeah.
I two part question. How important is it for there to be a voice for people who speak from UAT features that would be useless on Wikimedia presence?
Useless?
Sure. That's an excellent question, because a lot of the extensions that I develop will probably never end up on Wikimedia, but they still are used a fair amount on other importance, I guess, is in the eye of the beholder. I mean, if there's hundreds of sites that use these things, then it's important to those hundreds of sites or thousands. I mean, in the case of MediaWiki, I think there's something like there's at least tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of wikis that use MediaWiki.
Does anyone count that?
No. It's hard to count because if a wiki gets abandoned, then it's like at what point does it stop getting counted? And that happens a lot with wikis in general, that you keep something that something runs for like 2 months and then people just abandon it for one reason or another.
That seems to be the critical issue with that and with other sort of social sort of software, is that you need a critical mass of that issue. Having
right.
enough people, I mean, it's an issue I think we have to deal with in NYC Wiki, and we've got to handle people that with it. That it's that sort of exponential kind of networks that.
How about Flickr and YouTube? How about Flickr and YouTube?
Yeah, YouTube. Well,
but
YouTube.
Flickr and YouTube, they are both have a very strong popularity.
Sure.
And they don't have all that kind of problem of people butting and do all those things. And as long as it can be referenced and they accept you as far as its relevance, you're there.
Right, yeah. So just briefly finish this. Marketing, Wikimedia is never going to do this, and I don't expect them to, but WikiWorks does this to some extent. I'm just presenting it as something further that I hope everyone could do more of, or everyone who's involved in this world, is manning booths at enterprise
data
conferences.
It's close.
All sorts of conferences where our competitors, quote unquote, have these booths, really trying to do more sales and marketing for MediaWiki. That's something I'm personally involved in. Accreditation of consulting companies, that is potentially something that Wikimedia could be doing. Who knows if they'll ever do it? It would be cool to have a Wikimedia. When they get approached by people saying, could you, if that ever happens, I assume it does, if Wikimedia ever gets approached by people saying, could you help me, some company says, could you help us create our own wiki, they can have a list of people to point to. And then more documentation, and that's something that Wikiverse is working on as well, books and tutorial videos and stuff.